Thank you so much, Lily, for that beautiful song. And thank you, worship team, for just opening up a space where we can enter into the presence of God and lift up our voices in praising Him. Thank you, Annalise, for giving voice to our collective prayers. So thankful for your saying yes to leadership in this church and for what you bring. Your prayer was especially touching to me. Those words, to be fully known and fully loved by Him. It's good to be in the presence of God today. And I want to just say happy Sabbath to you, church family. I'm glad that we can share together this Sabbath right before Thanksgiving. It's a Sabbath where I hope that your hearts right now are ringing with a sense of expectation around the blessings that God has already poured into our lives and the blessings that are to come this week. And the blessings that still remain for the remainder of this year. We're going to open our Bibles in just a second. But before we do that, can we pray one more time and just ask that the Lord will be here in the presence of His Holy Spirit. Lord, we're so grateful for Your Word. Thank You that it's a perfect revelation of Your heart of love for us. And thank You that in it we find everything that we need for life and godliness. And we thank You, Lord, that You have made provision for us to know You and to know the true revelation of Your heart in these words from Scripture. And so today, as we come to Scripture, Lord, we want to open it with open hearts and open minds and with a prayer that Your Holy Spirit will be here to speak through Your Word to us. And we thank You that You meet us here. Thank You for this table before us today and the chance to come together to it. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a call to return. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has always been one of my favorite holidays, one of my favorite times of the year. And I say that... Here's what you need to know. I like Thanksgiving better than I like Christmas. Can I just say that? Is that all right to say? Don't call me a Grinch. I love Thanksgiving better, in spite of the fact that at Thanksgiving people eat pumpkin pie. I love Thanksgiving better than Christmas, in spite of the fact. If you know me, you know that I don't believe in pumpkin pie. It's a true story. True story. Have you seen the picture of the little tiny slice of pumpkin pie about this wide? And it's covered with like an entire spray bottle of whipped cream. If I had to eat pumpkin pie, that would be the way. But there's just not enough whipped cream in a bottle to make a piece of pumpkin pie go down. My mother, I keep praying for her conversion, but she my mother's a consummate pie maker. And I don't understand why a person would waste their talents on making pumpkin pie when cherry pie and pecan pie and apple pie and oh my. My mother can make pie, and she does make pie, by the way, but there's always a pumpkin pie mixed in there. In spite of all of that, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It's just, there's something about Thanksgiving, and one of the things about Thanksgiving is that Thanksgiving is a call to return. I was thinking about this table and the fact that we celebrate communion together the week before Thanksgiving, and I get the privilege of leading in this communion probably more often than not. And one of the reasons is because I'm usually at home on Thanksgiving. Sandy and I are blessed because both of her parents and my mother are still living. And we go home for the holidays on Thanksgiving. That's something that we have tried to make a commitment to do. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of a pastoral staff that includes three pastors, and we have the opportunity to work together around these issues of holidays. And so Thanksgiving is a time for us to return home. We go to what we lovingly call the family compound. Have you heard me say that before? If you don't know us well, or if you haven't heard about where we go for Thanksgiving, our parents live next door to each other. My My grandmother and her three brothers, I know some of you are smiling, I did not marry the neighbor girl, okay? My grandmother and her three brothers bought some property and built four houses on it and have some farm property over near Milton Freewater. And a number of years ago, when my wife's parents were looking for a place to retire, one of my dad's uncles was looking to sell. And so our children's grandparents live next door to each other. When we go home for the holidays, we really go home for the holidays. And so Thanksgiving represents a call to return home. Yes, a call to return. It's a call to return thanks as well. Returning thanks, you know, that's a phrase that you don't hear very often. Return thanks. How many of you grew up maybe in a home where the blessing, that's what we called it in our home. Maybe you grew up in a home where the blessing was something you said before meals, and in some homes, the blessing was referred to as returning thanks. I know that because my grandfather, maybe that was more common in his generation, but my grandfather always referred to the blessing as returning thanks. I thought about that a little bit, and it seems like an interesting turn of phrase. The returning thanks. I hadn't thought about that a lot. In our family, one of the things that my dad used to say to us often was, and when I think about the word returning, I often think about the word returning in a spiritual sense in connection with tithe. Anybody else grow up in a family where you talked about returning tithe? My dad, a couple of times in my life, I made a statement, something about paying tithe. And my dad, whenever he heard those words together, he would always make a point of saying, "Son, we don't pay tithe. We return tithe. We pay bills, we pay taxes, but we return tithe." There's this sense that there's something that doesn't belong to us, that God has given us something that we return back to Him. But returning thanks, I want us to think today a little bit about returning thanks, because Thanksgiving calls us to return. I want to start in Scripture by asking you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I've been blessed over the last couple of months as we've been spending time together in 1 Peter. And every time we think we're just about done with 1 Peter, we keep coming back to some of the blessings that are in this little book. And so I want us to, I'm not promising that it's an end, but I want us to begin today by coming back to where we began in our series on 1 Peter. And I want to just begin by reading a passage here from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you have your Bibles open, feel free to follow along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, beginning in verse 3. All praise to God. I want to stop there and I want to say, you can use the word thanks where it says praise. And in fact, there are a couple of translations. If you look, you can find a couple of translations that actually translate this phrase, all thanks or give thanks to God. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a thanksgiving passage. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I love that. We've been born again. Some translations say we've been born again into a living hope. We've been born again because God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Family, I would suggest to you that this passage and the verses that follow could be a passage that you could live in this week during Thanksgiving week. We've been blessed by God in so many ways. We've been blessed by being born again into a living hope through the death of Jesus and through his resurrection. And this passage is a passage that if you enter into the journey, the call to return thanks this week, you could do it by living this week in connection with these words from Scripture. Returning thanks. I was thinking about just the idea that we return thanks to God. Think about when we return tithe, we receive financial blessings from God, and returning tithe is a way to give back to God and to demonstrate the fact that we acknowledge his ownership over everything in our lives. It's an act of worship. It's an act of thanksgiving. And I was thinking about the fact that we have received so many blessings, and the thing, how do we bless God? We receive from God what we can't give back to God. When we return tithe, we can demonstrate something. But in terms of the salvation that we receive, anything that we give back or we try to return in that could be us offering our acts or our behavior or our acts of devotion as a way to demonstrate ourselves to God that we're offering something to him. And so the idea of returning thanks to me came through in this, and it's just the outflow of receiving blessing, then we return thanks. I was thinking about the call to return, and a scripture passage, a story from Luke chapter 17 came to my mind about what it means to return to give thanks. And I want us to just spend a little bit of time together. If you have your Bibles there, turn over to Luke chapter 17. And you can keep your finger in 1 Peter if you'd like. We'll be back there in a bit. But I want us to just take a look together at Luke chapter 17. Who moved Luke in my Bible? Luke chapter 17, and in verse 11, we read a story here about Jesus and a healing that happened. Luke 17, verse 11, it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Thanksgiving calls us to return. And just mulling that word return in my mind and thinking about the fact that this man demonstrated that returning of thanks. He actually returned. The Bible uses the word returned. Only one returned, and he came and fell down on his knees at Jesus' feet, and he returned thanks. He returned to thanks. He returned to thank, and he returned thanks. I love that picture of what it means for him to turn around and come. As we think about the call in Thanksgiving to return, I want us to focus just for a minute on 3 phrases from this little story. 3 phrases from this story. First, the words of Jesus. When he saw those lepers there crying, and they're crying out to him and saying, Jesus, save us, have mercy on us. His response, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, I don't know if you know what those words meant to those men, but I can imagine that when they received those words, it wasn't their first inclination to want to do that. They wanted to deal with Jesus. They didn't want to deal with the priests, because the priests were what got them into this mess in the first place. You know how it worked back then? If you had a disease, if you had a skin disease like leprosy, the Bible's instructions were that you needed to go and bring that to the priest and show that to the priest. And if it was found to be leprosy, the priest then passed judgment on that and sent you into exile. There's a reason that the Bible says that when Jesus came into this village, there were 10 men who were standing at a distance. They couldn't, they were isolated, they were separated, and it was the priest who got them into that situation. It was the priest who had judged them to be unclean, to be a leper. And Jesus' response is to call them to go and show themselves to the priest. If you were a leper, if you were a person who had been exiled, you didn't like priests very much. You wanted to stay as far away from priests as possible. And it's because priests to them represented the source of their pain, the source of their exile, the source of their being outcast in society. And yet Jesus says to them, go and show yourselves. Go and show yourselves. See, when we experience pain, when we experience brokenness, when we experience sin in our lives, things that separate us from God, our first response is not to show. Our first response is to cover. Boys and girls, I want you to think for a minute about your experience growing up and what happens when you hurt yourself. If you're home for Thanksgiving and you're at Grandma and Grandpa's house, I want you to think about if you get hurt there, and Mom and Dad weren't around, who would you go to, Grandma or Grandpa? Who would you go to, Grandma or Grandpa? In my family growing up, we have been blessed with two generations of grandpas who you don't go to. It's true. Two generations, not one, but two generations of grandpas who you don't go to. In my family growing up, we had my dad's parents were Grammy and Papa. Now, Grammy and Papa loved both of them very much, and both of them loved us very much, but in our family, if you got hurt, you learned pretty quickly that you didn't go to Papa with your pain. In fact, it came to the place where if you got an injury, especially if it was a cut or anything that was bleeding, you covered it up as best as possible because you didn't want Papa to get anywhere near it. You know why? Because Papa had a little brown bottle with a black cap. Yeah, you know, some of you are laughing. There's kids here who have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's probably a good thing because I'm pretty sure that what was in that bottle caused cancer in like 17 states. Grandpa had a bottle of Mercurochrome. Oh, yeah, you know about Mercurochrome? He had another bottle of another thing called methylate. I'm pretty sure that neither one of those things were ever intended to be put on your body in any way, shape, or form. But here's, boys and girls, you need to know this. Methylate and Mercurochrome sting like fire when they get put on a cut. And that's exactly what Papa wanted to do, because anytime you had any kind of an injury at all, you got the bottle of Mercurochrome, and Papa would put that on there, and it really, really hurt and made you cry. So when you got cut, you covered it up, and you ran, not to Papa, but to Grammy. Because you know what Grammy did? She kissed it. She kissed it all better. That was the way, and you know, here's the thing that was funny. I grew up with that in my family, and wouldn't you know, my kids have a grandpa that has a bottle of Mercurochrome. Still, I don't know how old that thing is. I'm pretty sure you can't buy it in any stores. It's probably a 50-year-old bottle of Mercurochrome, but he's tried. He's tried a couple of times, and fortunately, they listened to their dad's warning and went nowhere near. Props to having a mom and dad who are both ER nurses, I guess. Here's the thing. Thinking about spiritual healing, spiritual woundedness. And our instinct is to cover up. Our instinct is to not bring into the light, to not show, to not, and that's an instinct that goes all the way back to the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that they realized that they were naked, they were ashamed, and their first instinct was to go and get leaves and try to cover themselves up. I don't know whose idea it was to get fig leaves. If you've ever had a fig tree, you know those are the itchiest leaves ever. But the whole principle was cover yourself up and cover your nakedness and don't show. And I loved the song that Lily shared with us today, because to be fully known by God and to be fully loved by God, that is to show ourselves. To show ourselves. A few months ago, maybe it was longer, I'm pretty sure it was Pastor George who said some words from the front that hit home to me. They kind of lodged in my heart. He shared the words, he can't heal what you don't reveal. Did you say that, Pastor George? I'm pretty sure you said that. And I was like, that's solid right there. He can't heal what you don't reveal. And I held on to that, and I remembered that. I wrote that down, and one day I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, those are deep. Those are deep words. I wonder where those came from. Like, what minor prophet in the Bible had written those words down? And then I was like, no, that's not minor prophet kind of stuff. That's got to be, like, maybe that's Jesus or Paul. And then I was like, no, it doesn't sound like it's from the Bible. But it's definitely, there's truth. I mean, it'll preach. That's definitely true. And so I was like, I kind of went on this quest because I was like, it's got to be like Kierkegaard or somebody else. And I started digging, and the answer rattled me a little bit. Would you believe? Jay-Z. I'm not even joking. I couldn't find, and I don't go look for the lyrics to the song that they're in, but buried in the middle of this song is this phrase. I couldn't find it anywhere else. Pastor George, did you know? I'm like, here's the thing. Here, don't miss this. Don't miss this. I'm pretty sure that Jay-Z got those in church. Those were, I'm not joking. I'm pretty sure that he heard those in church. And there's truth sometimes in the most surprising places. I want to suggest this to you. Those words, there's biblical truth there. There's biblical truth in the midst of that phrase, that God can't heal for us what we're not willing to reveal. When I came running with my hand over an owie, boys and girls, like, I couldn't get the kiss that I needed, you know? I couldn't get a Band-Aid. I couldn't get that thing washed up and cleaned up and healed until I was willing to take my hand away, right? All right, all of us together now. This isn't just for boys and girls. He can't heal what we won't reveal. But the thing is, we're desperate for love and acceptance. And we have a struggle believing the words of that song that Lily sang for us so beautifully, that we're fully known and fully loved. To pry our hands away. And so I want you to think about Jesus' words, go and show yourself to the priest. I want you to think about those words for a little bit. You see, there was a sting of separation that came from their interaction with the priest. And Jesus said, I want to give you another chance. I want to give you an opportunity to make that right. I want you to relive that interaction with the priest. Because Jesus, for us, took the sting. The Bible teaches clearly that Jesus's suffering was in place of our suffering. That Jesus, in right here, we've been over it multiple times in the book of 1 Peter, as we've been here, we've been wrestling with this reality that Jesus bore our sin, and the Bible says that by his wounds, we are healed. Love the fact that there's a connection to the concept of returning. Verse 25, right after that, says, once you wandered like sheep, you wandered astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd of your soul. Listen here. We have a priest. We have a priest. And Jesus' response to our brokenness is the same as his response to the lepers, and that is, go and show yourself to the priest. Come to me, he says, and let me take care of, because I love it. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus' blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus is a priest unlike any other priest. Jesus is not in the business of
cross the border illegally and they shouldn't be here. May I have compassion? Oh, when the kid burns down 400 acres of my backyard where I love to walk in nature, God, may I have compassion. May I love that child and extend grace for him. God, to the person who's in the hospital because they slept with someone, they had unprotected sex, they contracted HIV, it was their fault, I had nothing to do with it. And so when I see them, God, may I not be so quick to add judgment and tell them, oh, you shouldn't have done such and such. May I have compassion and love them. Recognizing that while I was doing my dirt, God, you had compassion on me and you loved me.
Show yourself. Let Jesus take your sting and get the kiss that you deserve as a son, as a daughter. You know, showing ourselves isn't something that happens accidentally. We make a decision to peel away layers. And sometimes we do that in the presence of a trusting friend. Sometimes we do that in the presence of a pastor. Sometimes we do that in the presence of a trusted counselor, a therapist. God can use all kinds of ways to help us to be able to tear away the layers and to get to the true self, to bring into the light what we need for him to heal. Show yourself. I want you to think about two more phrases from this story. Right after that, Jesus speaks these words. It says, go show yourself to the priest. And then it says, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. You know, thinking about the miracles of Jesus, there were some miracles where Jesus healed people immediately in his presence. And there were some miracles where Jesus, well, there was at least one I can think of where Jesus didn't even go anywhere and no one was in his presence. Remember when he spoke a word for the servant? He said, I don't even need to go there. Your servant's healed. There was faith there. In this story, it's a little bit different in that Jesus says to them, go, and they obeyed and went. And while they were in the act of living out the obedience of just doing what Jesus asked them to do, they received healing. I love that. And I thought about my own experience. My experience with healing personally is that healing for me has come over the course of time. Over the course of time in the journey of living out what God has called me to live out. And I want to hold this out to you today and say that some healing happens miraculously in the moment. And thank God for that. When that happens, thank the Lord for that. Return thanks for those moments. But also hold on to the reality that sometimes healing comes in the journey of just living out faithfully what God has called you to and a sense of belief in what God has promised. Are you with me? For many of us, the reality of Thanksgiving is that we return to a table with an empty seat. We've talked about that before, but I think it's important that we say every year that that's a part of the life cycle and the journey of a church family. That today there are all kinds of journeys represented here. Some of you guys are cruising into your first major holiday with an empty seat at the table. And I want to hold out to you the words of Jesus here in this story. Go and show, and the idea that sometimes the healing comes in the going. And just as the journey continues, there's healing that comes. By the way, this isn't an announcement, but it's an invitation. If you look at the backside of your announcement sheet, you'll see there that Adventist Medical Center is hosting a program Monday night at 7 p.m. It's called Grieving Through the Holidays. And I happen to be one of the people who's participating in that as a speaker. And so if you're in a journey right now where your holidays this year don't prove to be as joyous as maybe they will be for some other people. Know this, there's a journey, and in the journey, God meets us and we find healing. I hope maybe if that's something that speaks to you, I hope that you'll choose to come on Monday night and be a part of that. The details are in your bulletin. As they went. One more phrase that I want us to think about together. And that's the phrase, when he saw. Verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. When he saw. One thing I've noticed to be true in my life is that I often fail to see what I'm not looking for. Probably true in your life as well. We often fail to see what we're not looking for. And so it's important for us to intentionally carve out opportunities for reflection and thinking about the blessings that we receive from God in our lives. The most thankful people that you know are likely to be men and women who have carved out time for reflection and are thinking about the blessings that God is pouring into their lives. I was talking once with a friend after reading a biography of a great man of faith by the name of George Mueller. We were talking about the answers to prayer that George Mueller received in his life. I think when you talk with Christians who have read about great Christians down through the ages, and you think about answers to prayer, one of the answers that I think you would see come up, one of the names that would come up regularly, I think, would be George Mueller. The guy had incredible answers to prayer. I won't tell you them, but I will tell you a comment that was made to me as we were discussing George Mueller. One of my mentors said to me, I think that most of us would have stories similar to George Mueller's if we took time to reflect and to write down. So I want to ask you, are you living with cognizance of the blessings? Are you intentionally taking time to reflect? I've been praying through on a regular basis the words from Ephesians chapter 1. And if you want to be thankful, that's another passage of Scripture that I could challenge you to just let yourself soak in. And one of the phrases that has spoken into my experience over these last few months has been this phrase that says that we are the recipients of every spiritual blessing because we've been united with Christ Jesus. You can't pray those words daily without beginning to reflect on what those blessings are. And I was thinking about the fact that every one of us this week could spend some time just thinking about the kinds of blessings, material blessings, yes, relational blessings, financial blessings, emotional blessings, but most importantly, spiritual blessings. We're the recipients of every spiritual blessing. How does that work itself out in your experience? In your life, what are the spiritual blessings that you're seeing? I was thinking about our church family. And if we were to reflect together, if we had more time today, it would be fun to just have an opportunity to shout out some of the ways as a church family that we've experienced God's blessing. Oftentimes, and I'm gonna do that for us maybe as I've given some thought to this over this last week, just thinking about returning thanks. One of the things we do at this time is we sit together and reflect on God's goodness. When I think about the blessings of God, I think for all of us, oftentimes we think about financial things, and those things matter. God has blessed this church financially in some incredible ways. We're in a good spot financially. And I'm so thankful for that. Through the generosity that God has poured into your lives and the fact that you are faithfully returning tithes and offerings, our church is in a place where we should speak about God's blessings financially. But listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg because there are so many other blessings. Think about the ways that God has been growing this family. numerically. We have experienced the additions of members, both in terms of folks who have been walking with Jesus, joining this church, and uniting themselves with the mission of this church to lift up uncommon love and the gospel of Jesus Christ in this community of Happy Valley. We've been blessed with baptisms. Just as recently as a week or two ago, we were able to celebrate Mendy's baptism. We celebrated Elijah's baptism this year. We've celebrated professions of faith as folks have shared their profession of faith in Christ. Rebecca was one of those we celebrated together just recently. We're celebrating members. As a church family this year, we've been blessed to add another pastor to our pastoral staff, Pastor Ashok. And you know what? That's a blessing in lots of ways. We had a lot of unanswered questions, and the Lord has provided not only another staff member, but the finances to be able to care for in a responsible way, Pastor Ashok and Cassie, and we're so thankful of the ways that God has been leading, and that's just confirmed over and over again as we see the ways that God is blessing your ministry, Pastor Ashok. And so I have a full heart just for that provision of God in our church. What about the ways that God has been pouring out his Holy Spirit? This church is experiencing a revival right now, and I'm thankful for it. I'm praying for it, that it will grow, that it will be a flame that continues to burn brightly, and that we will continue to receive everything that God wants to pour into us through the Holy Spirit. We've seen that outpouring in some very powerful ways together. We're seeing God's blessing in the intergenerational ministries that are happening in this church, the way the generations are loving one another. From the youngest in this church to the oldest in this church, God is using every one of us to create a space where we can all experience the value and the love that Jesus wants us to experience. I'm so grateful. And if we had more time, I know that we could expand upon all of these things. There's so many programs that have been a blessing. There are so many people that have served and been a blessing. We have so much thanks to return. But at the heart of all of it is the reality that we've received every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I talked about how God is adding to our numbers. And today we see right here the reality of the representation of the body and blood of Jesus. We're going to receive communion together. It's a Thanksgiving meal. We have the opportunity to return thanks in our hearts as we remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And I want you to know, if you're new to this church family, if this is your first time here or if this is your first communion here, I want you to know that Seventh-day Adventists practice open communion. What that means is that there's a seat for you at this table. If you believe in Jesus and his death and resurrection, you've accepted him as your Savior, there's a place for you at this table, and you are welcome to receive this communion, whether you identify as Seventh-day Adventist faith or not. And so it's my privilege for us to be, I have the privilege of being able to invite all of us to this table of grace and gratitude. As we come to this table, we come with hearts that are full, and we make an intentional decision to come and to return our thanks. Let's sing together as we prepare our hearts to receive. Lord, you are worthy, and our hearts are full of thanksgiving today. We want to return that thanks to you. We want to be the one who comes back, who returns and falls at your feet and says, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of the blessings that you've poured in to our lives, blessings that are undeserved. We've done nothing to deserve to be called your children, and yet we're greeted with a kiss and a robe and a ring and uncommon love. Amen. Continue to pour your love into our hearts, Lord. We receive all of the healing, all of the grace, all of the mercy that you want to give us, and we know that it's unlimited, that your love never fails, it never runs out. And so, Lord, open our eyes that we won't miss the ways that you blessed, and that our lives will be a living out of this concept of returning thanks. That's our prayer. In your name, as we remember together, Jesus, amen.